OC.
You know who that is right there?
Give it to me.
I ever said, you can't
know. That Grace Rhodes.
That Grace Rhodes, that new Uprise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just one.
Get cracking. We need something special this week, bro. Tell him why. I want you to tell us why.
The guy's, he's bobbing his head. I'm surprised we're even allowed in the same air. I'm surprised we're allowed to breathe the same air.
Ooh.
As this greatness that we have in here. But hold on, let's let Grace ride. Let's let Grace ride out a little bit.
Grace, come on, introduce this majestic.
Because this is him. He's so dangerous, man. I guess he's so dangerous.
He is dangerous. He is absolutely dangerous. And everybody wants to know.
Bill?
No, no, this is on you. Because, yes, I need you to introduce this individual.
Yeah.
Because we're in central London.
Okay.
We're near
the
palace, correct?
Yes. There's a king.
We have a king.
Yes.
In our presence.
Yes.
Royalty is real.
Yes, it is.
Introduce this individual.
Okay. Are you going to do the J-Bell clap after I introduce him?
Yes.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we have. Not only the best person, the very best football player I've ever seen in my life, the best presenter.
Yes.
Killing it over there in America. We have the OC Umenyora of America here with us today. Michael Strahan. Oh my goodness. Do you even know what this means?
I know what this means.
Do you know what this means?
But do the people know what this means? They don't even want us to talk anymore.
Nah, let's just keep quiet, man.
Let's just keep going.
No, I got to say, you know, what a great intro. And you say you can't breathe the same air. To be honest with you, you only have 5 minutes to breathe the same air that I breathe, and you just wasted three of that intro. So y'all down to 2 minutes to breathe the same rarefied air that I'm breathing in right now. But thank you guys. Welcome me to London. This is a treat. I'm a little scared, man.
Yeah.
Because I get around you two and I say some things that I probably normally wouldn't say, explain some things in a way like a locker room, like I wouldn't necessarily explain.
Right.
I thought you were gonna, you know, we have all these nicknames we have all this history between us. And some of it is for consumption outside of the room, some of it is not. So we just go see how it goes.
In case people don't know. Strahan is massive in America.
It's
massive.
Beyond massive.
In America. So a lot of the things that we discuss here, he might not be able to participate.
Well, no. You know what I love about it? I said, well, what's the show about? He said, well, I don't know. We just go. Like, what kind of show?
What show is that?
There's no direction. We just go. It's kind of like y'all on a football field. Ain't no direction.
Just go.
Truth be told, we were at dinner last time.
Yep.
Strike was here, and he had a lot of love. I thought people were looking at me, to be honest. I did. Because I take anything I can get.
Mm-hmm.
No chance.
Mm. They're looking at your tattoos, man.
So, if you don't know who Michael Strahan is, for our London listeners, our England listeners, 15-year player in the NFL, Hall of Fame player.
Hall of Fame.
Yes. Only because of your two contributions.
Right. Yeah. There's so many things I could say about Stray. I'm not gonna blow his head up here right now, but I can categorically tell you that this man right here is the reason that I accomplished anything that I accomplished in the NFL. And I'm gonna tell you a couple of stories to tell you how that happened. I'm gonna tell you how that happened, right? Okay. Matter of fact, because he doesn't know this story, but I'm gonna tell him this.
Break it down.
So, my rookie year.
Oh, okay.
In the NFL.
Way back.
Rookie year. I'd work out, I'd watch Strahan. You know, I'd already knew who he was. I'm like, okay, Strahan is massive at this time. So, you know, we'd work out, and I was like, I'm as strong as him, you know. We'd go out there and run. You know, I was faster. But I couldn't understand why this guy was 10 times better than I was. I couldn't understand. Couldn't understand.
The numbers aren't matching up.
They're not matching up. Why is he so superior? I would go out there and I would watch him, and he would physically humiliate people. And I couldn't understand how. And so I'll just sit there watching him. So one day I was just sitting there watching him. I was like, Stray, man, tell me what I need to do. He was like, okay, come with me. So I went in the film room, and I just sat there and I watched him watch film. They were playing the Dallas Cowboys. Quincy Carter was the quarterback at this time.
He was my quarterback.
Quincy Carter was.
Yes, yeah. He was. Beat
the hell Yeah. So he was the quarterback at the time, and he was like, okay, I want you to watch this. Look at the offensive lineman. Look at this, look at that, look at that, look at the set, look at this. Most importantly, what he taught me was how to get off the football, because this was something I didn't really know coming out of college. And as soon as I learned all those things, the next year my career took off. So, you know, I've never told him exactly how this transpired, but if he didn't do that, I could have went to any other team, any other player, and I would never have become the person and the player I became if not for the fact that I just so happened to be Michael Strahan's understudy, and he taught me things that probably nobody else would have taught me, man. And
I'm
now we're out here.
My 10% coming out of that. Jeez, can I get my money? But I'll tell you something about OC. OC was like, you weren't a knucklehead.
Right.
Because you're not a knucklehead. But he's just one of them dudes, you just got to grab him sometimes, say, you know, grab him. Come here. Come here. You're going to do this. Because as he said, we go work out. I say, man, every day after practice, I'm the old cat at this point. Every day after practice, I go get on the treadmill and run the incline thing.
I remember that.
Every day. Because I learned, you know, so many players get concerned about coming in from practice and just resting and then talking to the media and all that. I was like, you know what? If I talk to the media today or tomorrow, if I don't play well on Sunday, they're going to kill me anyway. Mm. So I'm going to do everything I need to do to make sure I'm the best player. And then if I have time to answer a question or two, cool. But then I got even further. I restricted my question to 2 days a week just to make them win. I gave them something, they were going to use it because they were thirsty for it. Mm. But OC would – He has so much talent. We work out every once in a while. I'm like, this guy's stronger than I am. And then he's out there running and footwork and all this stuff because, you know, playing soccer growing up. I'm saying, this guy's so much of a better athlete than I am. Which, in turn, he made me better because I couldn't just relax. I had to change. I completely had to change my game when he came there. I used to be a power guy. I had to learn more finesse. I still didn't learn it how he learned it, how to sack a quarterback with never touching the ground and get dirty. I've never seen a guy get so many sacks and not touch the ground. It makes no sense to me. But you had to grab him sometimes and, dude, you're going to come in here and you're going to work out today. You're going to watch extra film. And I remember being at training camp. And OC wasn't the, you know, he was sometimes could be lazy. And the coach is riding him. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's riding OC, the rookie, riding him. Because OC's wrong. He's being lazy. You're not doing it. And Keith Hamilton had let him borrow his sweatshirt for the meeting because they kept it cold to keep you away.
Oh, gosh. I know.
Man, OC was so bad. That Keith was so – we were old school, you know. We were so pissed. Keith's like, get up. Give me that sweat. Give me my sweatshirt. Give it. You don't deserve to wear that sweatshirt up in here. Like, literally, you had to, like, grab him by the chest because he's so much talent and potential. And he didn't waste it, thank God. But you've seen so many guys who did.
Very true.
But he was the one guy, I always say this to people, both Scorpios.
Mm. Same birthday, correct?
Close.
21st, what are you?
16th.
Yeah.
Yeah, close. It all makes sense. Now.
So, no, you know what? It was weird because close birthdays, I'm a lot older than he is, but like sensibilities and like stuff would happen in meetings, just funny stuff, and we would just look at each other. And literally, we just saw last to each other without saying a word. We just got it. We'd be on the field and you could look. And you just got it. And I understood his game because I knew what his strengths were, which was he's going to come over the top, make the guy step up. My stuff was more power inside stuff. So it just all worked good, but it worked because it was unselfish.
Right.
It was unselfish. It was only one selfish situation, I got to say. And it wasn't necessarily me. It was Justin Tuck. And I'm going to throw him under the bus. You know what I'm
saying? I've never seen OC like he is. He can't
stop. Oh, my God. He knows it, man. Eagles game only, but there was no selfishness between us because I got him and Tuck came in later, but these guys was at a point in my career where I'd been there long enough, had done enough, had proven enough, that it wasn't about me. It wasn't about sacks. It wasn't about Pro Bowls. It wasn't about any of that. It was like I just wanted to win. And when Coughlin got there, it was tough to see that because he was tough on all of us. Mm. But then it became, at the end of my career, I just want to have fun. And they tell you, we had the most fun of any group, of any in the league.
I used to listen to you.
It was ridiculous.
We would hear you guys in your meeting room, and we were like, what are they doing over there?
No, the practice field Friday, freestyle Friday, going over the bag. Oh, no, stop. We're going to get to that later. I'm talking about going, and we're going to talk about their freestyle.
We've discussed freestyle Fridays
before. We may have to do another one here today.
Legendary.
Here we go.
Because I'm still mad.
But we rap battles.
Well, remember we used to go over the bag, and we used to clap. Bah, bah. We used to create a beat and clap, and guys go over the dummies and doing dancing, and you get to dance on Freestyle Friday. It would piss Coughlin off. Uh-huh. Coach Coughlin would hate it.
So
and
angry.
I'd be like, leave us alone. We're doing what we need to do. Mm-hmm. Let us handle the way we need to. If I were younger, I couldn't do that. So these guys got me at a point where I didn't care. So
at all.
It was like, y'all need something. We need something. We need to chill, relax. We got it. You just tell me. I would tell Coughlin, what you going to do, fire me? Do me a favor.
Because
if I quit, they going to say he could still play. You know?
It is.
So if you fire me, you doing me a favor. Send me home, man. But it just ended up being like a perfect storm. And, the highlight of my career was at the end playing with these guys because I was able to just enjoy, and it made me actually had to be better as a player because I couldn't keep up with them no more. That's one reason I retired. It wasn't because I couldn't play. No, it wasn't because
they
I couldn't
wanted
play.
You back another year, I remember.
Yeah. I was too tired. Like, stupid stump you out speeches.
Yeah. Man, we needed that. We needed all that energy.
That's the only, because this fool here is the reason.
I remember hyping him up. Like, give it to him straight. Yeah. Give it to him straight.
He don't remember. I don't know if he remembers. I went to him one time and say, oh, I'm tired, man. I don't want to do that stomp you out speech. First of all, I don't know what I'm going to say. Then I get up there and I got to jump up and down. I'm tired before we even warm up, for the game even start. And he's like, oh, we need it, man. We need the energy. We need it. You got to give it to us. And I'm like, what have I started? And that was whenever
speaking of the guy who took the jacket from me, I got to tell you a story about this guy.
Hammer.
Yeah.
I won the Ed Block
One
Courage Award with Hammer.
Did you?
And sat next to him the whole time.
He's an original.
It was
such a good dude.
Great.
So.
Keep your shirt off his back.
Funniest thing I ever saw in my entire life. Happened between Stray and Hammer. The absolute funniest thing.
Now, people don't know, they all were defensive ends. They all played the same position.
No. This is the guy. So, this was my rookie year, I remember. And people see Stray, and he's such a nice man. But there's another side to this guy.
there's a dark side.
There's another side to this guy, right? So this is my rookie year. So I'm sitting in the meeting room.
It's getting hot in here.
I'm sitting in the meeting room, and Hammer decides he wants to pop off on Stray. So he pops off on Stray. Now, him and Stray, they came in together. They've known each other a long time.
Me, we've been there forever together, yeah.
So he's popping off on Stray, and I'm looking. I'm like, okay, cool. So we're just sitting there watching tape. It's dark in there. All of a sudden, Strand gets up, leaves the room. I'm like, okay, cool. Now, the guy had some issues back in the day with... some off-the-field issues with some illegal substances.
Yeah, things.
Yeah, so Strand gets up and leaves. So we're sitting there, we're watching film, right?
I was useful, Rock, for telling
it's
this.
Dark. It's and dark in there now.
I was wrong to do it. You're wrong for telling, but go ahead.
I can't. So Stray goes out. He comes back in. It's still dark. Now, nobody saw what Stray went to do when he went outside. But Stray had went and ground up some chalk and put it in a bag.
Oh, Jesus.
And took some grass off the field and put it in a bag.
Stop.
So Jay Will.
Oh my God.
The lights are off and he had thrown the stuff right by Hammer's legs. Right.
I threw it.
He planted it on him.
Where his pocket would have been.
So They turn the lights on, J-Bell, for break. And Stray's like, yo, what is that? And everybody sees.
Oh, my God. My stomach hurts. J-Bell,
I have never laughed so hard.
Oh, my God.
Hammer was sick. He was so angry.
He had no defense.
But the thing is,
the funniest Waffle, thing I've ever seen in my life, bro.
Coach Waffle's face.
Oh, gosh.
Waffle was like, because he didn't know no better. Waffle couldn't tell if it was whatever it was. Yeah. He's about to have a heart attack. But I would admit, and I didn't realize, I did not realize this until OC pointed it out. OC pointed it out. And it was, I'm nice as they come, man. I'll do anything for you. I love
this
you.
This is true.
You're my boy. I'll do anything for you. But, actually, OC pointed this out, and it's a very good observation, which I've taken to heart now. I don't have a 0 to 60.
No.
I don't have, like, oh, we're going to go to 21st, and then we're going to hit 30, then we're going to go 50, then we'll get to max speed. Once you get me, I'm max. I don't care about your feelings. I just don't. So, on the football field, if it was one little thing, because I wasn't out there looking for trouble, but if you disrespected me in some way, throw me over the pile. Mm-hmm. Extra, like, who wanted to? I go to 100.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like it was in these situations. You piss me off? Okay, you think I got something you won't be able to come back from. But that was a good one.
That helped your game, though. That's why you were what you were out there.
But I will say, in the locker room, it was safe to do that. Yes. You can do stuff in the locker room. Like this rap battle, I would have fought him in the street. I would have fought him in the street for the stuff he said this rap battle.
Okay, let's talk about this rap battle.
Yes, please,
right?
Please, because listeners are familiar with the rap battle.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so this is 07. The year we won the Super Bowl, right? So Fridays, we were in the meeting room pretty much the whole time just acting crazy. The entire season, we're just acting crazy in the meeting room. So they decide, okay, this Friday, OC and Stray are going to have a rap battle, right?
Because we had Fast Foot Freddie Robin.
Yep,
he was a DJ.
Yep.
So we just didn't sit there and watch music. We used to play music every day. He'd be over there mixing and, like, had a playlist. We in the jam and watching film. Yeah, we having a good time. So I don't know how we decided to rap.
Rap battle between me and Stray and Friday. They told us this on, like, Monday. So, in my head, right, mind you, I played with Stray for 5 years now at this point in time. Now, I'd seen, obviously, the nice Stray, but I'd also seen
the dark
other.
Side.
I'd also seen the other side.
You've seen his victims.
Yeah, I've also
you
seen that.
You have seen his victims.
I saw Stray tell a guy one time, Frankie Ferrari.
Oh, I knew you were going to say this.
I told him one time.
I knew you were going to say this. I was sitting there going, he ain't going to remember that.
Oh, I remember. The guy was saying something to Stray. He was talking trash to Stray. Okay. I don't know why they do it, but he was talking trash to Stray. Stray was like, "You shut me up! I'll go upstairs and I'll get you cut off this team right now." Frankie didn't say nothing, and we were all sitting in there because we were like, "Yeah, he probably he could do that.
That could happen.
That could
to
actually
you
happen
right
now."
That was so bad. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have told him, "Bad, I'd get you cut."
Now, hear me out. Now, so 5 years. I've seen this.
Yes.
I've seen this side of Strahan.
You understand. This is real.
I know where this guy, in my head, I know where this guy can go. So they're like, you guys have a rap battle on Friday. They told us this on Monday. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, man, Stray's
he's going to be ready.
He's going to be prepared.
Locked and loaded.
So now, after 5 years of being together, I'd heard a couple of things. J-Bell, I went in there and I wrote down every single thing I could think
personal.
Of. All personal. Of it. I wrote it all down.
He came hard. No, I'm with you. On my defense, I wasn't going to cut it hard. It's my brother. I love this dude. He ain't done nothing. Everybody putting us in this situation. I'm going to ease around it, but I'm going to let him go first just to see.
Everybody's in there now. We got the running backs in there.
We had that sliding glass. Yes, they opened up the sliding wall. So now our meeting's with the running backs.
So Fred drops the beat. Fred drops the beat. Jay, I brought it all out, and they're in there looking like, "Oh my God!"
They don't know. They don't know if a fight is gonna happen. They don't know
what's going on. And Stray, as I was rapping, I could look at him, and he was shocked. He was like, "We're supposed to be brothers, but you have to understand where I was coming from."
You were scared.
I was scared.
I was scared.
Like, oh my God, he's gonna. So in his defense, after hearing something like that, right, and not being prepared for that level of vitriol.
We're in a fight.
Yeah, he came back. He came back on the spot. Now, he had to now think of, he had to ratchet
I
it up a little bit.
I had nothing bad like that. I had nothing bad like that. Zero. Not a deal. We're going in there to rap with some respect on his name. I was going to put some respect on his name with my rap. He came out there, took my name. Found the muddiest field he could do, rolled it through the mud, kicked it, stomped it, other things, and left it. I was like, huh? What? And so, I was so pissed.
Yeah.
But no, I was pissed, but I was more surprised. I was like, he just did what? Now, I ain't gonna lie, he was telling the truth, but it still hurt.
I didn't even hear that.
It became fruitful later on down the road, but he could see the future.
This is what I thought was gonna happen. So
he roasted Vic.
So Stray now comes out, you know, and there's a guy. He sits in the front. His name is Russ, and we all hated Russ. Every last one of us.
But the thing is, I can't prepare. You forgot. I can't prepare. Like, I had went out and I bought a mic.
A mic, a gold mic,
like a sweet one of them kind of like mics, like. Like, this was, like, the top mic. Give me the best mic you got. I walk in there, pull out my own mic, like, I'm going to crush it on you. And he hit me with that, man. I just wanted to swing that mic across the room. Waste my money. But anyway,
you know,
Russ.
So, you know, Stray gets up there.
Oh, gosh.
And now
Can we be honest about Russ?
Of course.
We hated Russ.
We hated Russ.
I'll be honest with you. Whatever. Russ, we didn't like you.
Yeah.
He was just, he was the negativity, the negative guy in the room. He always complained about everything, and everybody else was in a good mood, and Russ would be in a bad mood. So that's the story with Russ.
Right.
And if you don't say, I'll say it, Russ, we did not like you.
Yeah, we didn't like
you. Shout out to Russ.
Nobody liked him.
Yeah.
So Stray comes out, and now he has to, he's counterpunching now. So he's hitting me back with everything he can think of on the spot, which is pretty good. And then after all that, as he's rapping, he sees Russ sitting there.
Just didn't like him, man.
And this is between me and Stray now. Yeah. And he's rapping, he's like, oh, see this, and then, and F you, Russ. And Russ is like, what?
I don't got nothing to do with this.
Out of the blue, I just saw him.
He so just now, made you mad.
F you, Russ.
F you, Russ. So now in our group chat, whenever we're trying to sign off, we'd be like, it's still F you, Russ.
Yeah, that's our D-Line group chat. Oh boy.
My God.
Incredible, man.
Oh.
Yeah, that,
all
that
right,
stuff
what else we great. Got? Let's talk about some actual football stuff.
What? What? No, no, we're no, no, not letting you off the
right,
gas.
What you got, man? What you got?
This is, oh, my goodness.
And I got to say, OC was selfish, too. Very selfish. The one game I saw hate, it wasn't from me, it was from others.
Right.
And how his selfishness at the same time, which he kind of deserved some of it. Philadelphia Eagles, he got six sacks in a game?
Six sacks
in a game. He's over there going against, who was that? Winston Moss.
Winston Justice.
Winston Justice.
From Long Beach.
But there was no justice.
Y'all killed my guy.
There was no justice in what he was doing to
y'all killed that man's whole career.
We didn't do nothing. He killed this man's career because he's over there. He gets one sack. And we had some celebrations. Like, they kept me young, like the balling thing. The balling was hot. We always do all these things, but we always make sure you celebrate the dude. Like, yo, you got a sack. Mm-hmm. I'm not jealous. It means I got to go get one.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my little sack. That game on running. I'm feeling good. We out there.
Broke
and then
the
that
record.
Thing.
Giants record.
Yep.
Right, that's right.
Giants record. And then he gets two. Man, like, yo, give me some. Yeah, dog. He gets three. We like, yo, oh, my God, you're killing him. He get four. We like, well, damn, man. Like, what you doing? Then we on the sideline, and guys are like, hey, man, Osi, let me go over there and get me some of that. You know, they're like, nope.
No, sir.
No, sir. I feel fresh. I don't need to come out the game this week. I feel fresh. He literally goes out there, gets sack number six. He gets sack number six. I'm still happy for the brother.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm over there. I'm trying to hover. And Tuck literally looks at him, looks over there and go.
You can see
and walks
tape.
Away. You can see his.
Like
just that
see
hate?
He just waves at him. Ugh. And just walks away. I was like, now that's some hate.
That's
some
hate.
That's some real hate. You were killing.
Killing.
But I'll be honest with you. You on the roll, don't give it up. I would have stayed over there, too.
You can't. But, like, sometimes. You know, I'd go back and I would watch, you know, like when me and Stray play together. And it's the most amazing thing, man. Like when I would do something good, he would be genuinely happy. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, it's only going back now and looking at it, you're like, man, that takes a special kind of, you know, individual. Yes. To genuinely celebrate you when you're doing good. Because for me, when he would do something, like, he was my mentor, so of course I was happy, but to see someone like that, it was cool.
And I'm not putting it on guys, because I played with some great guys in the past, really did. Bratsky and Kenny Holmes and Robert, I played with a lot of good players, great players, but there were none like him. And so he made my life, my career easier. Mm-hmm. Now I'm over there still, I'm still getting beat up too, but he's over there getting beat up sometime too.
Right.
Tuck's over there getting beat up sometime too. So it's like we were, you know, great. And then when Tuck came to the mix, he was a guy who could fill in anywhere, and he was a mismatch inside.
Absolutely.
And then outside, you know, he could come out there and give us a breather, you know what I'm saying? But it just ended up making me better because I truly stopped worrying about if other people were ready to play because I always felt like I was. I used to be so stressed. Is this guy worried? Is this guy, is he focused? Has he been paying attention? Has he been doing all the work? And when I went to games with them, I was like, I know OC going to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, he ain't going to be embarrassed. He ain't going to sit in that meet room tomorrow and have us go at him. Hey, like when you run up, when you're trying to do a pass rush move, when you run in there or you're trying to run and you just – somebody gets thrown down, and you know our thing. What was it, OC?
You got thrown out the club.
Yeah, you got thrown out the club. No, you can't come in the club tonight. And then the guy throws you out.
No white tees in the club.
No white tees.
It was like a constant something that if you weren't on point, you were gonna hear about it, and nobody wanted to hear it. But Young Cats made me better, man. Made me enjoy it.
Right.
It made me like football. I ain't gonna lie. I didn't always like it. Mm-hmm. I could play it. I didn't always like it. Until the end of my career, when I just said, "Well, I don't care about none of that. I'm just gonna enjoy the fellas."
I gotta tell you, just one.
Go ahead. This one's better.
What did I do now?
It's the funniest thing I've ever seen on a football field before. This actually took place.
Yeah, I'm involved in this.
Yes, on the
of
football.
Of course.
Field. On the football field. So we're playing Philadelphia in Philly. Now Stray and John Runyon.
Oh, this was the battle.
Yeah. You know, they...
Stray and Runyon. I mean, this is... There's NFL
man.
Film
no,
documentation
right here,
on
right.
this fight.
Okay. Go ahead, OC.
So Stray's on the left. I'm on the right side, right? So I come around the edge, beat my guy clean. So I'm running, and the quarterback, I think...
McNabb
rolls out that way. There's a running back. I don't even know what his name was.
Fullback.
Bro, he didn't chip me.
Can I? In my defense, I'll let you finish the story. But in my defense, okay. Right, I always was like one of the last guys to put my hand on the ground because I've watched so much film and I can tell. Like Runyon, the way he put his right foot would tell me if he's going down, pass blocking. I could in his helmet. I could read everything. I've watched so much film on this guy. And this was my last year in the league, so I've seen it all. I've been chipped a billion times. You're not going to get me with it. You're not going to get me with line of the tight. You're just not. I've seen it all. I know what they're going to do. For some reason, I come up there, and I see the fullback. He's offset, you know, to my side. And I see Runyon, and I'm going, oh, yeah, okay. I don't know what I was thinking. So I put my hand in the dirt. They say hike, and I go forward, and OC, please finish.
So, I'm coming around the edge, right? And I just – I don't know how I saw this, but the
I didn't see
the
it.
Fullback
– That's how it happened.
Straight on looking, and the fullback
– Oh, my God.
Right on his ribcage.
Oh, Mac!
That's what you heard. And I saw Stray's foot go in the air first. Right? And I'm running, and I'm like – I paused.
He's horizontal.
I was like, oh, my God, what the hell happened? And so – I'm looking at my boy laying down. I'm still running. I'm like, oh, they killed him. They killed him. And it was so bad that Runyon, Strahan's bitter rival,
oh, yeah.
saw it. And he was like, oh, he tried to pick Strahan up.
No, he did.
He reached to pick Strahan up. And Strahan, you know, took his hand, got up, and immediately took off running. Running after the
pass rush. Runyon was still running. No, that was the worst. It didn't hurt. It did not hurt nothing but my pride. Because the second I didn't see this, I don't know what I'm looking at the format. I know what you're gonna do, what you can do. I don't know why I didn't expect that. When I tell you, Howie Long was watching that Fox, and I still talk to him to this day. He would bring it up too. And he's like, man, I thought they killed you. Same thing you said. I thought they killed you. I've never seen, you know how you get hit? And all I see, I didn't realize it was mine at the time, was a foot.
I didn't realize
like dangling. And then I realized, oh my God, that belongs to me. And all my back of my head hit the ground first,
boom.
And then boom, and I hit, and my eyes are like pool balls, like they're so big because I can't believe it happened. Like, where did that come from? I've never experienced that in 15 years. And the first thought in my head was, damn, I got to sit in the meeting room, and coach is going to run this back, and I got to hear this food. And what do you think? Waffle, run it back.
Run it back.
Every once in a while, they want to get me. They put it in and run it back.
Like, okay. Stray, you just named this podcast.
That was bad, man.
I saw a foot in the air.
And didn't realize it was mine.
Incredible.
I thought he killed me.
Funniest thing I see.
And
funniest
I will say, football Runyon was there. He looked at me. His eyes were like, oh. He reaches down, grabs my hand, and helps me up. He never does that. And then I look, and McNabb is still running behind him. So I start passing, and you start blocking again. It was crazy, man. That was one of the craziest plays ever.
Oh my
gosh, bro.
Oh, this is what is this?
What is this?
Simon's handing me something.
Oh, and gloves,
oh,
too.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, man. Look at this.
What, whatever comes with gloves and a
look
bag.
At this. Look at this. Mm-hmm. You know what? Should I put these? Thank you, Simon. Stray, this is.
Are you putting the gloves on?
This is big.
Are y'all going to show me something I've never seen before?
Stray, I'm glad you're here for this.
Sure. You know what it is, OC?
Yeah, I know what it is.
I was going to make this comment, but this will really get us kicked off of the podcast if I said what I was about to say about these gloves.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, I know. Everybody say, okay, I'm going to leave that alone.
So, Stray, this is the British Sports Journalism Award.
Oh.
2018.
Oh, I wonder who won that.
Sports Pundit
who won that?
Of the year.
Who won that, though? I mean, I looked it up. I think I know who won. Who won that? I think I know the guy who won that.
I got, for those who can't see.
But why the white gloves, though? That's
because this is prestigious.
Okay. I'm afraid even. Oh, first of all, where are my shades? Somebody got my shades? Hold on. Don't pull that out now. Can't look at it. Bare-eyed. I can't look at it bare-eyed. No. You look at it bare-eyed.
It's like the baby in the manger.
Come on.
It's like a baby in the manger. All right,
go, okay. I got my glasses on now. I may be able to handle it.
Stray has his glasses on. This is happening.
Oh, it's so bright.
Oh.
It's shining.
Oh.
Shining.
Wow. Oh.
To my man.
SJA.
That's
it, man. Yeah.
Straight. Now, real talk. This is how my man is over here representing.
Mm, mm, mm.
You are doing it in the States. He's doing it over here.
Mm, mm, mm.
How does all this talent come out of one meeting room for the New York Giants? Real question.
I'm just following his footsteps.
How
man.
In the world do you and him both have these same skills that we're able to translate on this side of the business and to be effective? I really want to know, because maybe it helps me. This is all selfishness.
It's blinding.
What is it? Like, what is it? Yeah, because how are you guys able to do this?
I think.
Well, you know, you're asking a tough question because nobody wants to hear and brag on themselves, man.
But why not?
I'll brag on OC. How about that?
Yes, do that.
One thing I recognize about OC, he's extremely smart. He is extremely personable. He understands how to walk in a room and can talk to anybody. He can ease any situation. People would be under the most stress, screaming and hollering. OC was always kind of with this little silly laugh, like it wasn't a big deal. So there's something about him that puts you at ease, and I think he's authentic. And people know fake, and they know real, and OC's authentic. And I used to always tell him, I said, man, I've never had somebody I've ever been around been more like me than this dude, ever. Like, in like the sensibilities and just how they got everything. And I think, for me, things make sense. I think it just makes sense. You can't even explain why it makes sense. But also, even if you don't know it, once you get in the door, you have enough pride to figure it out real quick before they put you out.
Yes.
Because I never went to school for any of this. I mean, I didn't know the first thing about TV. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he went to know anything. I went to little Texas Southern. He went to Troy. So we come from these situations where you got to make it or fake it till you do. And I just think we're very good at adapting. And me growing up in Germany, him having a sensibility of growing up here and spending time in just more than one city in the U.S. where you think that's end-all, be-all. The world's a big place, and I think we both growing up had an opportunity to see that. And I think it just helped his sensibilities on how to deal with people. And that's, TV is no different, and doing this is no different than dealing with people on a daily basis, except for you're in their house on a tube. But yet they need to feel like they're connected. And obviously he has the gifts to do that.
You might have hit the nail on the head with that, because both of you have a global perspective on life and things. And I've spoken to both of you on personal levels on things that I've been going through that are definitely not getting discussed on this podcast. But it's that kind of viewpoint.
Yeah.
It really is.
I think for me it was like, you know, watching Strahan do it, like when we retired, and I would just watch him, and I would see the way he was. The way he is on TV is the way he was in the locker room. It wasn't like, you know, he's just
minus the FU,
minus all that stuff. Yeah, minus all that.
Minus the dropping of stuff.
It was authentic, like he said.
And his personality just comes out. And so, you know, when I came over here to do it, I was like, you know what? Rather than being so, oh, yes, and, you know,
trying to fit what everybody else does.
No. I said, I'm going to go the complete opposite direction.
Yes,
I'm just going to and, you know, people see that, and I guess they connect with it. They like it. They enjoy it. And, you know, here we are.
But I would tell you this, though, is you got to trust. It's kind of like playing football. Best way I could describe it, like playing football and trusting your instincts. Mm. The hardest thing for people to do is be themselves with a camera on.
Yep.
Hardest thing for people. Because you know so many people with a great personality, right?
Yep.
Then that camera hit them, and those cats, you're like, what happened? Where'd you go?
Who are you?
Who are you? Like, let it out. Let people see who you are. But I think a lot of people are afraid to let people see even a small piece of them and who they are. Mm. So to be able to be on the football field, right, and you know that coach called this play, or that happened in front of you, you got to be able to adjust. You got to be able to take a chance and trust your gut that I know what's next. I know if this is safe to do right here. Mm. I know if this is safe to say right now. I know if I can pull this joke off. I know if I can pull this statement off. Mm. Like, you got to be very comfortable and almost look at yourself from the outside looking in, instead of being so selfish to stay right within. No, I'm going to do what I got to do because they're all about. No, you got to look at yourself And I don't know, I kind of hover above myself to make sure, oh, you know, sometimes I got some jokes and I'm like, that ain't Good Morning America material. I'll say that one for the afternoon show, you know what I'm saying? I know going to work in certain places and certain times it ain't going to work. Mm-hmm. So you just, I think it's just understanding people, like having an understanding, you know, how to take chances, when to take them. But I remember when OC, you won two.
It's like my third one.
That's the third one. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. I remember you won your first one. Yeah. Excuse me.
Time has passed.
No, when he won his first one, and also, not like he hit me up and said, yo, man, you know I won. He didn't do none of that. I got an email from Roger Goodell and John Mara. Mm. Roger Goodell being a commissioner in the NFL, John Mara being the owner of the Giants. And basically, the gist of the email is that we are so proud of OC, and you should be too, because he has won this British Sports Journalism Award. It's the equivalent of winning a sports Emmy for cricket in the U.S.
Exactly.
And that when they said that, I was like, whoa! So immediately, I like hit him and said, congratulations, it's amazing. Because we all know how sports are. If it's not football, basketball, baseball, it's very tough to even get. And now soccer's creeping up, but it's like tough. But to win it here, American football, that isn't, there's no team here. Mm-hmm. They come in and they play different teams. But I think that's one thing that I think we love and appreciate when we're at the studio on a Sunday at Fox and we're watching the games that are played here, is all the uniforms from different teams. People just there to celebrate football, celebrate the game. They might not even be rooting for or even know who's on any of the teams, but they appreciate the pageantry and the event of it. And that's what I love. So for him to win this is bigger than me winning Emmys back in the U.S., in my opinion, because this is like totally out of the box of what's usually done.
This is crazy.
I want won't go that far. But you know, it's pretty good.
But Stray's absolutely right. Like, well, it's not like we're fighting for a presence here.
Yeah.
And the fact that you have been so successful has put a spotlight on the NFL that the NFL would not have necessarily. Something you said earlier, and then I'll stop. I just found this interesting, Stray, is when you were talking about you and OC and playing and understanding each other on the field. Like, you knew what kind of player he was. You adjusted your game, and you said that's – I mean, is that something that you've – at all the years, is he a guy that just had that, or is that just a skill that you had to adjust to other players, or was it
no, he
a
had
bit
it.
Him?
I didn't do nothing for
you
that.
Can – you could basically – you are on the same page. You can kind of feel it out
did,
together.
Would his game just fit with what I did for some strange reason? His game, like him being an edge rusher, and when we used to talk about, you know, mess with him about not being physical, that he wanted to show you. Then he would get physical. And you just like, it's kind of like, you know, like Bad Boys. Remember first Bad Boys when they driving that Porsche? Mm-hmm. Martin finally driving the Porsche and that dude's in that Cobra, 427 Cobra. And they go through and that dude wrecked the Cobra. He look, that's how you drive. That's why he's looking at you. Dude, you like running people over showing power. That's how you play. That's how you play. But then he give it to you and you take it away. You go back to finesse. Dude, but his game, the way that he made people pay attention to him. I never had somebody who people had to pay attention to with more than one blocker.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so for me, it made it easier on me. And being that long in the tooth in the NFL, as I got older, I started losing weight. Because I realized that 270-something pounds, I couldn't run like these cats. I couldn't get an edge on guys. I could try to run you over, but after doing that, hitting your banging into a wall for so many years, that gets a little old. So being around them, I actually lost the weight, got a six-pack, you know.
Looking good,
taught
bro.
Me to
be ready.
All these club. Finesse moves, these chop clubs and all this stuff I never dreamed I'd ever be able to do, we would do. And then it became fun to be at practice for us. Because it don't care how tired you are, we always made it a game. Because it was always, we took practice and we kind of did the thing. Well, I always tell people now, work can be fun. We always get this thing to think, oh man, when I go to work, that means my day is over until work is done. Because I just sit in those meeting rooms, I had to change my whole mindset. Because you guys know, you're in those meeting rooms. And I remember years, we used to have a little sit, me, Sam, Sam Garns, and Percy Ellsworth.
Ooh, Sam
we used to have
Garns,
a thing to see who could stay awake the longest without, person I would always lose, because Sam, that cat was up. We over there falling asleep. But then I got older, and I would drink water. They called me water boy, because I used to drink so much water, and I'd line them, maybe a little OCD, line them up with the label perfectly up on the chalkboard in my corner. But I didn't fall asleep, didn't do none of that, because I didn't want to hear their mouth. Plus, I used to hate practice, hate it. But then I tell myself, well, I'm at practice, I'm tired. I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait. Then the second practice over, I'd be like, where the party at? Where the party, you know what I'm saying? So for me, it wasn't a matter of physically not having energy. Mentally, I was just checking out. So I told myself, if you got that much energy after practice, then apply that whole love of what you're going to do after to the love of what you're doing in it. Because one day, you're never going to strap a helmet, as we always know. You're never going to put a shoulder pad on. You're never going to get thigh pads on and knee pads. You're never going to put that uniform on again. So you're going to miss it. I don't care how sick of the game you are. So it totally changed my mindset to, like, go to work and make work fun. So we made practice fun and made it a competition. So if we had get-off drills, who's the fastest? If we had to go through the bags, who's the fastest? On Friday, Freestyle Friday, we'd be clapping and going on, who could be the funniest going over the bags and do the dance, you know?
Didn't we had to have, like, what was it, 5 STB so we could eat something? Was it the church's chicken or something?
Yes.
We had to get 5 STBs, sprints of the balls. So Waffle had to write. And so we see us, they turn the tape on, you just see us just
flying. You'd be like, get me down, coach. Because if you didn't get that, then you didn't get to eat where they brought the food for the.
Man, the penalty was so harsh.
Found ways to motivate ourselves, though. But these are things, like a lot of my career early on, especially, I had nothing. I didn't have that kinship, you know, with the guys. But later in my career with these guys, it's like, yo, this is the best time of my life. But the best, the funniest story, the best times. And I think it's because I changed my attitude, and these guys changed my attitude, and changed me as a player, and as a person. So,
and what did he do? He walked off. with a Super Bowl victory.
Thanks to you. Thanks to you.
Imagine. Well, you know, I'll take a little credit of that for that game. I'll tell you why.
I got a story about you in the Super Bowl, actually. I would tell it all the time, okay. But it's very true.
I remember. I'll tell you why. So, obviously, Strahan had taught me how to watch tape, right?
Yes.
So, I'm sitting over there where I'm watching the New England Patriots, and I had studied for hours. I'm talking about every single day, just watching them. And I noticed something that Tom Brady was doing, right? And I'll say, because we don't play anymore, so I don't give a damn.
Reveal it.
Here's what he was doing. Brady, he was heart counting. He was like, hut, hut, hut. And then he would identify the mic, the middle linebacker. He'd be like, middle linebacker is this way. He wouldn't snap the ball unless he did that.
So that way you're never going to jump.
He wouldn't snap the ball unless he identified the mic. And period. I would see him doing this. I didn't know what he was doing. So I went and got the original, the game copy, and I would listen. And he was like, oh, hot, 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 25 is the mic. He's telling them where to slide. So as soon as he said that, the ball was snapping. So I now went to them. I was like, listen, I got something on these guys right here, bro. Listen, as soon as you hear him identify the mic, when he snaps that ball again, get off.
Go time.
But see, you don't know, though. You know, he set you up, though, to be offsides.
Yeah, I don't know.
Set up. But he set you up to be offsides in the Super Bowl.
Bro, no. This was 100%. 100%. So I told him that we get out there. Guy Brady had no clue what hit him, bro.
Yeah.
We were flying off that rock, bro.
I don't know if you felt like this, right? I felt like crazy. We were hitting him so much, especially first. We're hitting him. I feel like every time he dropped back. I'm looking like, are they messing with us? Are they serious? Tricking us? Is this a trick? Because every play, one of us or somebody's hitting him. And I'm like, nah, this is a setup. They're going to throw a screen over our head. They want to get us. Something ain't right. But then when you saw him slamming the ball after he's getting hit, he gets sacked, when he's cursing at the lineman, you're like, oh, we really doing it. And then it was like, oh, they can't touch this. You could look and see the linemen were scared to death. They were scared to death. There's nothing they could do.
Too much heat for them.
Lay down. Lay down. They lay down out there. It was crazy.
But it was crazy because the whole week, relax. Everybody relax. We had myself, Imani Toomer, and Gray Rugemer were the only three who had been in Super Bowls, right? And Gray was what, a long snapper?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
With the Patriots, right?
Yeah. So, but Coach Coughlin had us all speak to the team, like, okay, what would y'all tell the fellas before I talk, whatever. And we all did different things, and I was like, just relax and enjoy it. It's still football. They're going to kick it off. Once they kick it off, it's still football. All the pageantry and all the cameras and the people, all those press conferences, it means nothing. It's just still the game of football. Don't get overwhelmed by the moment. Mm. Just so relaxed. So I'm trying to be relaxed at practice and all that stuff, trying to be the same, be honest with you. And I'm a little nervous, though, because I've been the one and we lost big time. So I'm like, oh, man, you know, I'm at the end of my career. This could be my last shot. And these dudes, talking about relaxing, they were relaxing too much. Like, too much. They were wilding. Like you know, we always had fun at practice. They took the fun up another level. And I'm trying not to say, like, dude, y'all need to, like, get serious. Like, focus. Because I'm the one who told them to be relaxed. And then you look out, Coughlin's out there eating an In-N-Out burger, like, chilling. I'm like, I've never seen Coughlin like this. Like, something's going on. And so we get to game day, and I'm already like, whatever's going to happen, going to happen. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. I get there. I'm fixing my breakfast, as I usually do, getting my eggs and bacon and stuff, and OC comes up. Hey man, I just want to say, we don't get to Tom Brady. We ain't going to win this game. And I'm looking. I'm like, oh, you've been watching TV? I mean, that's what everybody said. I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, I got it. I'm just really just wanted to get my breakfast. No, you don't understand, Straight. I'm serious, man. We don't get Tom Brady, we ain't going to win this game. And I'm like, all right, though, I got you. And that's when I knew. I said, oh, we're going to win. Because it's like, we had our fun, and these cats were like, bam, focus. And it's the only game I could tell you, 11 guys, usually you get in the game, it's like, okay, two or three guys on point. And you could tell through two or three guys are like in it and mentally there. That game, 11 guys. Locked. And to keep that team to 14 points, they'd be killing everybody. 30-some points a game.
To hold them to 14 points was nothing short of amazing. And to do it with, like, Michael Johnson, all these young cats, Jabril, all these young cats on the back end.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
It was amazing.
You got a lot of guys paid.
Yeah.
It was good. It was deservedly
like,
so.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the morning of, I remember, everything just hit me all of a sudden. It was like, yo, if we're going to win, we're gonna have to perform.
You too.
We're gonna have to perform. Yeah. You understand? And so when I saw him, when I saw Stray, it was like, cause you know I was usually the one who
fooling around, joking less.
You know what I mean? I was young. I couldn't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the gravity of the situation hit me that morning, and I was like, oh my God, Stray, if we don't perform, like.
He was like a kid who just found out.
Right.
He's just a kid who found out how babies were made. You know what I mean? He was like, oh my God, do you know that? If we don't.
Babies were made.
That's what he sounded like. Like a kid who was like amazed at how he found out how babies were made. We got to get to Tom Brady.
We got to get to him, man. Like if there was no other game on planet Earth that we had to get to the quarterback, it was going to be that particular game. If we didn't do what we did, there's no way we win. No, it's not
right.
possible.
Not right.
You understand?
Yes.
And so when he looked at me and he was like, I got you. That was it.
You guys both knew it was a wrap.
That was it.
I knew it there. At that point, I was like, okay. Because these fools, this fool here, this fool, another thing, right? We played the Patriots the last game of the regular season.
Yes.
And we knew we were going to the playoffs because we had beat Buffalo the week before, so we barely got in.
Right.
Scoot, scoot.
So they didn't do anything in our game plan special for the Patriots. We just kind of, you know, showed up and they called plays and we just went out there and just ran around and we should have beat them. They throw the same play to Randy Moss, miss it the first time, second time connect, back to back. Okay, they win the game. And I remember locker room or going into the locker room, hey man, we see them again, we're going to beat them. Mm-hmm. Next time we see them, we're going to beat them. We're going to beat them, we see them again. And I'm thinking to myself,
so how are we going to see him again?
I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, we barely made the playoffs. We got to play Tampa. Then Dallas is still in the mix. Green Bay is still in the mix. Like, I'm thinking about every team that we could have to play. And I was like, you know we're going to have to get to the Super Bowl to play them because they're in a whole nother division. Oh, I know. We see him again. We're going to beat him. And now I look back, I go, what did he know that we didn't know? You know what I'm saying? But he was right. 100% right.
Uh-huh. Crazy.
100% right.
Before we get to these, though.
Yeah, we forget those.
No. You can get to whatever, man. I
got it. We gotta take this. We gotta take this to the dark side.
Let's take it to the dark side.
We gotta take this to the dark side.
Go ahead.
Like normal OC, dark side.
I ain't scared.
I need to ask you something.
You warmed up straight. He's ready to go.
I need to ask you something. So we had Jay-Z.
Oh. This is what happens in here.
We had Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Do something with the NFL.
Right.
And there's been a lot of backlash towards Jay-Z about his stance on how he was such a big supporter of Colin Kaepernick and, you know, how he saw this and how he saw that. And now he aligns himself with the NFL and Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job. Now, he said something that was rather interesting to me, Jay-Z. He said, okay, we understand what Colin was kneeling for. Mm-hmm. We get that. Everybody understands why he was doing it, but now we've moved past that. And Eric Reed, who is probably the most gangster individual I've ever seen in my life, has gone on the attack. Mm-hmm. And so I have mixed feelings about all this whole situation, because I understand what Jay-Z was saying, because something has to happen now, because everybody knows the reason why he knelt. So the action now has to be taken.
Had the call to action.
Yes.
There's a call to action.
Right.
Definitely.
But then there's a lot of backlash against Jay-Z because of him taking this action. And I want to know what you guys' stance was on that whole, like, do you fault Jay-Z? Do you feel he was right? Do you feel he was wrong? Do you feel he shouldn't have said the things he said about Kaepernick? Like, I just want to get your opinion on this so far.
All right. So I think that there's a difference between being an activist and a policymaker. Activism, you are an activist to hopefully have a movement that creates policy, which will equate to change.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what I think Jay-Z was saying was the movement that Kaepernick started got us to the point, and I say us, to the point that now policy can change and we have a footprint in that change.
Yes.
Meaning Jay-Z and his company, all that. That's real surface level thinking. There has to be a policy change for there to be change. Activism got us to there. So we just can't continue to be activists and not try to change or enhance policy. Mm.
Well, I think what everybody knows why Colin Kaepernick knelt, and I think, you know, when you're there and you see all these things, they're saying he knelt in disrespect to the military. There's none of that. He hates America. None of that stuff. Not true. We all know why he knelt. Social injustice for minorities. But they took the narrative and turned it against him. And there's no way the guy shouldn't be in the NFL.
Right.
Because I tell you right now, I can name so many quarterbacks in the league who are starters or second string backups who can't add what this kid could add. Because not only he took it to a Super Bowl. I mean, you know, Super Bowl. I mean, guy can play.
Yeah.
He can run. He can do all these things. So I do think it has kept him out the game. But I think at some point you do have to move past kneeling to activate some movement that incites change. Mm-hmm. I think when he did it because he truly believes he did it for the right reasons because he wants to bring attention to this.
Yes.
But I don't think he thought the next step that it would pick up this right. much, you know?
Right.
And now that it's at this level, yeah, he needs – some way to transfer that initial into some kind of policy and movement. Now, my thing with Jay-Z, I respect Jay-Z more than anybody in the game and in business because of what he's been able to build coming from where he's come from. But I think it confused a lot of people. And I understand why Eric Reed went off. I understand why Cap's girlfriend, Nessa, went off.
Right.
He lets her do the talking.
Right.
He
kind of right.
He don't really say nothing. Yeah. Let her do her thing. Is... You have somebody who said, we're going to come in and we're going to make a policy, but you don't include the guy who started the whole movement.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And I think a lot of NFL players have had a problem and because you don't have to go outside to get people who can do that.
Mm.
You got all these athletes, right, who have been involved in the NFL who are more than just athletes, okay, who understand what it is like inside. That you could have gone in-house. You don't have to go outside the NFL to get somebody to help and do and create a policy right. for this. You got plenty of guys who are smart who were in the building or in the business who were part of the NFL family.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to go outside the family to make it happen. And I think the part that I look like at and I go, I'm sure it's a PR move involved.
Yes.
You know, you got Jay-Z coming. But to say, okay, they're going to be production on the Super Bowl show. To me, it's a business deal.
Yeah.
That made it look more like a business deal than about implementing any
exactly.
program that Cap, in my opinion, started. But you should include the people who really have risked their careers.
Yes.
And a lot of times getting threatened with their life.
Yes.
Why not include them?
Yeah.
Say, oh, I called them before I did it. Come on, man. You should have, if it's as important to you as it is to him, you know what this guy's been through. You're standing with him. He should be in the league.
Yeah.
You know, I was at the award show and Beyonce presented Cap, HBO, I mean, Sports Illustrated, like one of the Icon Awards. So I know they're behind him.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, this is a perfect opportunity with their power or his power to say, I'm not doing it without this cat.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it without Eric Reed.
I like that.
But I respect his game. I respect what the NFL's trying to do.
Yeah.
But I just think the optics of it don't look good.
I like that. All that phone call and making sure someone in the movement was involved. Would have been a good move.
Because Cap didn't know how to implement the plan.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity for an NFL guy, no matter if he's in the league or not, if you like him a lot or whatever, because I've seen a lot of guys do a lot worse who are always included in the NFL family.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
This guy did something for other people.
Yeah.
That he felt was right. Teach him. Let this guy be a part of it. Maybe he'll learn something in this whole activism thing that maybe he'll go, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that way. Maybe it helps him in another. Maybe it just makes the whole thing better because you can get an insight on what it's like to be an African-American in this country, an African-American in the NFL, African-American that's seen as a certain way, and you're supposed to adhere to all these social things that people – the attitude of what people think you are,
right,
instead of who you really are.
Yes.
And in NFL, you guys know, when you're an NFL player, what do they say? Oh, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
So people are surprised at your success. People are surprised at your success. People are surprised at my success. But the bottom line is, football is what we did. It's not who we are.
Exactly.
We're much bigger than that. And you're done when you're 30. How old were you when you retired? 33. 33? 30. 30? I'm 36. Come on, man. You got a long life to live. Obviously, you don't want to sit at home and twiddle your thumbs.
No.
We're smart. We can do other things. And I think, you know, it's with the opportunity for the NFL to kind of include some guys to show another side of the NFL that players can get inside and implement a program to be proud of. And they can go, these are our true NFL family. These are our alumni. And not having to go outside to bring in what I felt like had been done inside.
Full disclosure, as you know, we work for the NFL.
Jay-Z called you?
No. Oh, no, he didn't call me. But I'm just saying, full disclosure.
Of course.
I think it was a little disingenuous on the NFL and Jay-Z. It's just, I understand what they're trying to do. I understand what Jay-Z's trying to do also, but it just, the optics, man, it's
it looks more like a business deal.
Yeah. It just doesn't seem right.
The deal
yeah.
looks like it's compromised when you understand exactly what they're going to be involved in. It's not as if we're going to hire them to come in and be a part of a program that's going to change and implement you know, different policies in NFL. It's like, yeah, we're going to do that, but going to run that halftime show.
Right.
And do all these things.
Hey, like, what?
Here's your compensation.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's, yeah. And, you know, and I think you guys work for the NFL. I work for Fox, who covers the NFL. Mm-hmm. I have all the respect in the world because I'm not one of these guys who's bitter at the NFL. To go, oh, you know, NFL.
Not at
please.
All.
Without the NFL, man, you know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
I don't want to think about it.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it. I might be trying to take that watch from you. Gotta say it soon. I don't know what I'd be doing. So I am grateful for the NFL, but I think we're all a little dumbfounded by that.
Yeah.
Time to go take me to the dark side, man.
That's usually
the podcast starts like that. I'm ready to talk football. He'll walk in and just, this is what I'm feeling.
What do you think about reparations, J-Bell?
He got too much free time. He got too much free time on his hands.
What do you mean?
He got too much free time on his hands.
Nice one, man. What are we doing? Are we doing these or no?
Yeah, dude, what you got?
We got to do these? Oh, man. Let's pick a good one.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Which one? This one? All right. I don't know how we go into questions, but this is Ask OC, Ask J Bell. We do this all the time, Stray. And we get good stuff.
Let me ask this question.
Yeah. Go ahead. Ask Stray.
But this is something for both of you.
Okay.
All right.
If OC played J Bell at soccer, tennis, golf, and basketball, what would the score be? Steve O is saying he thinks it would be 3-1 OC. So you'd beat him three out of the four sports. You beat him in soccer, tennis,
sure,
golf,
soccer.
Or basketball.
For sure, soccer. For sure, basketball. I don't know about tennis or golf, though.
I would give myself a chance in tennis, except my back will go out early. You will dominate off of pure longevity. I would lose all of them, Stray. I would lose all. And he gets super.
Though.
You can't play golf.
I can't play golf.
And I can't. I'm not, man, my back. Yeah. I might win golf. I can win golf.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I can, because I would be so behind the eight ball with losing all the other ones that I would figure out how to pull off golf.
I'm going to say this, man. Can I say something here?
Yes.
You lost your edge, brother. You lost it, J-Bell. You done come. You done got soft, man. You done got soft. You lost your edge.
I
mean, it's like, you know, like me right now. My edge up ain't tight because I've been traveling. You lost your edge, man. Beard's all out of whack. I mean, you know, you lost it. Because, dude. Come on, man. I'll be honest with you. If you ask me this question, I'm winning everyone, man.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm going to lose everyone. I'm going to win everyone. I'm never going to admit to these people that I can be beat. I refuse to be beat. I'm winning everyone.
Straight.
Now,
I'm a good follower.
He played soccer growing up. I don't know a damn thing about soccer. I know the Tottenham Hotspurs, Manchester United, Chelsea.
I know all that stuff.
Hello to Beckham a few times. You know, that's all I know. That's all I know.
But
I beat him at soccer.
I'm going to compete.
I get lucky I win 4-0.
I'm going to fight through, but come on. I know my skill sets.
Come on.
If my back was okay, I would have more confidence.
Dude.
It's the injury.
I'd be out there walking like a hobbit for you before I gave up.
I got to get my edge back. I needed to hear that.
And y'all need to play some golf, man. Y'all know what y'all missing.
I know. Get together.
Kurt Milner asks, guys, love the pod. I'd like to know if teams and players step off the gas in the preseason and how much intensity is there really?
Depends on what player you are. Mm-hmm. The two gentlemen I'm with right now will go out there and get a sweat.
Yeah.
Me, I'm playing like my life is on the line. Because every preseason, I had to ball. It was the first time, the biggest contract I got was coming to the Giants, and they told me, they switched me to safety, and they're like, yeah, you're the fifth safety. So go out and try to make your way. Yeah, I had to ball.
Really?
Every year. Yeah. Had to ball.
Well, yeah, I'll be honest with you. We used to go out there just try not to get hurt the first three plays before they pulled us out.
It depends on who you are.
Just chill.
It was like, you know, trying not to chip the fine china when you set the cup back down on the saucer. That's what we were. We were like fine china, man. We just had to survive.
Man, don't touch me, please. just get out of here.
All right, Matt wants to know, who is likely to go from worst to first? I feel everyone is sleeping on the Giants.
I'll let take that camp. One away, man. How do they look in training camp, man?
You know what? Team's got a good vibe, man.
Really?
It reminds me of when I came back when I said I was going to retire, but I just didn't want to come to camp.
Right.
It was like the team is very – it's not about one individual, you know, and I love Beckham. I love Odell. You know, good kid, man, great player. But required a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, wide out there. Look at Antonio Brown now. I look at Antonio Brown. I'm thinking, are you losing your mind?
Crazy.
What's going on, man? Like,
craziness.
You may need to go get some kind of help.
Craziness.
It's like something that makes no sense to me. I don't understand it.
Craziness.
But Odell's a great player, great, like, competitor, man. Like, one of the most competitive. But I just don't think this team was able to handle all the energy that he brought.
Mm. Yes.
And I don't think they had enough other players who had enough pedigree to go, yo, hey, man. What you're doing, you gotta stop down. Proposing to the kicking. You gotta stop proposing to the kicking net. Come on, it's getting ridiculous. Yeah.
Do you think he could have got away with that if we were?
No,
been impossible.
Not with y'all too.
It would have been impossible.
It would have in one of two ways. He would have either come around or he would have been fighting every day.
Yeah.
You said that so calm, but I know exactly what you mean.
It's the truth.
Fighting.
No, because I tell you one thing, you guys know, when you're on the field in the locker room, it's like, you ain't got disrespect. No.
Yeah.
Like, we go respect.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not about you. It's bigger than you.
Yes.
It's the whole team.
Yeah.
So when I was there, it feels like the team, it's more of a team thing. It's not one individual. These other guys know they got to step up. Like when Tiki left, Brandon Jacobs, D. Ward, it got new. Bradshaw, they had to step up. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like now. So we'll see. Yeah. And this Daniel Jones kid.
The hype train.
Man.
The Daniel Jones hype train.
I'm still confused at the pick. I didn't know anything about him. But he looks just like Eli.
It's crazy, right? It's crazy. It's crazy.
I mean, hopefully he has success, but it's like a mirror image.
Y'all
of Eli
know
now.
New York better than anybody. It's hard to play quarterback in that city. So you better be able to handle everything that's off the field, correct?
Yeah. I just thought about something. Speaking of training camp, man, like I had Strahan's back now. I had Stray's back. Let me tell you what happened the time he decided he was going to hold out, right? So Stray said he's going to hold out of camp, right? So he's not showing up the entire camp. And so the Giants come out. They're like, oh, we're going to bring in Simeon Rice and blah, 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 blah. So they come to me.
That would have been a waste of their money. Anyway, go ahead.
So they come to me.
He's still mad.
They're like, oh, see,
I'm not mad at them. Simeon's just not my favorite.
I know. They're like, the Giants say they're going to bring in Simeon Rice. What do you think? I'm like, to play where? He's not playing here.
Yeah, he did say that. His exact word. That word.
I said he's not playing here.
I respected Simeon's game, but it was different than mine. And you going to sit here and say that, think you're going to get a rise out of me? It's like, no.
It was crazy.
No.
Crazy.
But, yeah, I'll never forget that. You did have my back, man.
No chance. You're not bringing him here. And at this time – I was an all-pro player at this time, so I could flex a little bit. I could flex a little bit.
He felt good.
I flexed.
He was in the meeting telling guys, I'm going to get you cut. He was acting up.
I wonder who you learned that from.
I was acting up. I did. I started acting crazy, man. The minute went straight left.
Somebody had to hold,
Yeah. I went off.
All right, I got two things here. One is a question. The other one kind of a statement.
You running the show, all right, man?
Tyler. What, Tyler? I guess that's what, Tyler?
Yeah, Simon Rice is. Okay. And at times I think, yeah, he's got problems.
Okay, this guy?
This Simon. Guy, Simon,
Simon.
Who writes it.
Oh, yeah, you're Simon. Simon. Yeah, Simon. I think that's a T. Okay, what, Tyler? Can you tell us about how you treat rookies? Does the first rounder get different treatment?
We treat them, I wouldn't say that we treat them any different. I wouldn't say that.
A little bit. Yeah, it depends.
It depends on the guy.
Yeah, how they
we
act,
only
right?
had we only had one first round. We had Willie Joe at the time, and then JPP came, and we let Jason have it. We did. I'm not even gonna. We would cut his clothes up. We would throw them in the cold tub.
That's
yeah,
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Why do y'all do that?
Because Jason,
hard-headed?
Yeah, Jason was hard headed, man, and you're not gonna come in that D line room after all the stuff we'd seen. Yeah, and,
you got to break them.
Yeah.
See, it depends on who they are.
Yeah, so it depends. So we had to break him down. Yeah, we did.
It worked. Yeah,
he became a hell of a player.
Exactly.
But I think it depends on the guy and his attitude.
Yeah.
Because you have some guys who come in and they're like, well, I think if a guy came in and he like won a Heisman or he was like the man, he gets a harder time. Mm. And probably one of the greatest fights I've ever seen in my life, ever, was Jeremy Shockey.
Oh,
who
Jeremy
did he?
DePaul.
Oh, Brandon Short. I heard about this fight.
The greatest fight in the history of fights.
Oh. It was a good fight.
Oh. I need to hear more about this fight.
No, man. Because, I was at that point in my career, but I didn't really mess with the rookies. I talked to everybody because I realized I need everybody to win, but I didn't go to rookie and just give them a hard time. Guys would come to me because, let me tell you.
You
know this, at training camp.
It was during practice. I saw you. Well, I'll tell the story later.
Probably
go
because
ahead,
he wasn't doing what he needed to do.
All right.
But in training camp, I used to always be in the ice tub late, working out. So I would get there just to eat dinner at the tail end. They would go take naps, do all this other stuff. So I only got involved with a rookie when these guys would say, Michael, he don't want to get up on the table and sing. Yeah. He won't do this. He won't do that. And I used to go, hey, man. You got to get up there and do. You're not the first one or the last. You can't make the club if you don't have your equipment because you're going to show up and ain't going to be nothing in your
nothing
locker
there.
For you to practice with, okay? And then every once in a while you give up, hey, man, I don't know where my helmet's at. I told you. I told you. I don't either. Nothing I can do for you. Figure it out. So I didn't really get involved. So I get to the cast, man, and Brandon Short, B-Short was a short fuse. He was just a needler. Mm. Like one of these Penn State guys, needling it. And Shockey's in there just eating his breakfast, eating his lunch. He's sitting next to Eli and Jesse Palmer in between them. He's eating, and Brandon Short, ding, 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 knock on the glass. Somebody got to stand up, give your school your signing bonus, and sing a song. And you can't sing your school fight song. They asked, he's like, Shockey, you're next. Shockey's like, hey, I'll do it. Let me finish. Mm. No, do it now. He's like, well, I'm going to finish. Uh-huh. I'm going to finish. No. You're a rookie. Get up now, rookie. Do it now.
Wow.
All right. Okay. All right. But, Shockey don't take that.
Right.
He's one of the hardest working, toughest dudes I've ever been around, right? He wasn't afraid to fight. That sucker got up on his chair. Jeremy Shockey, University of Miami, gave a signing bonus and then said, something like, is that enough for you, B-Short? Like what? What? When I tell you, I give B-Short some credit. He got up out of his seat and went across that room, man, across like an ice skater. Like pushing off side to side, strong. Ice skater, dead beat at that table. Didn't get there and go, what? Shockey didn't go, what? Got there throwing blows to the point. It's like, I wasn't prepared for this. Y'all supposed to get up there and give us a chance to break it up. Give us a chance to break it up. Let's see some pageantry, like some, the peacock. And like, what? No. These cats came up. What? Flipped the table. Literally, they started. Eli and Jesse Palmer grabbed their trays and stood up and just backed off. Didn't break up nothing. Didn't even try to run. They grabbed their food.
They got their food.
They got
there.
Up and backed up. Man, these two were flipping table chairs. I ain't gonna lie. I waited till people calmed down before I got in there to help break it up. Because that was one of those kind, you get caught, you get knocked out as a byproduct of these cats. I've never, when I do chair in front of the owners' Whoa. Grandkids, the coaches, everything.
Wow.
And it was, and it couldn't be broken up too quick because no. they were both bulls. Intense. They were too strong.
Yeah.
And they were still throwing too hard of a punch that you just, y'all got to get tired before we talk.
Who got the best of that fight?
You know, I got to give him 50-50. I got to give him 50-50. But I did walk out of there and go, I respect Jeremy Shockey.
Mm.
I respect him. Because, you know, usually a rookie do that and you want to give him a hard time. Yeah. I was like, that cat got
he
my
can
respect.
Play, yeah,
he can play any day. Mm. And he proved that he could do it any day. That was fantastic. That was fantastic.
I saw a good fight, though. I saw a really good fight. I saw this guy right here.
Who that fight?
On the field. I forgot what offensive lineman.
Greg?
Was it Greg?
When I hit him in the head with the helmet?
Yes.
Yes. In practice?
Yeah. Practice.
Not only practice, it was like mini camp.
Oh.
We didn't have on pads. We had helmets.
You're exposed.
No, it's his fault. It was his. Actually, Jesse Armstead's fault.
Why was it Jesse's
fault? Jesse and I talked about this in that camp the other day.
Yeah?
Because we were in our shells, in our helmets. No pads. We're not even hitting each other. Mm-hmm. You just were getting a fit. And they pulled, and Greg pulled, and Jesse came up and lit him up off his feet. Whack! Off his feet. So Greg get up. They're trying to break him. He's pissed. Then the next play, I'm lined up in front of Greg. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's a problem you had over there.
Yeah.
Ain't got no problem with me. No. I'm not involved in this. I'm out here. I know the pace.
I know the pace.
I know the pace. Well, the next play, he blocks down. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, we cool. Bye. The next play comes back, and I'm still on alert. I'm still a little bit on alert. So I'm there. He comes off, and this time he comes, he grabs me. He's trying to throw me down. I'm like, yo, you need to chill. What are you doing? I ain't no part of that. And then
I ain't a part of that.
So we grab each other's face mask, and we're tussling. He's 6'7", 320, you know, at least. And we're tussling, and his helmet comes off. But he's still got me by my face mask. So I'm sitting there looking at him. I look at him, and in my head I go, Do I do it? Whatever. When I tell you,
just do that?
It was like he just literally looked at me and fell straight down. Boom. But you know how it is. Once you're out there, you got to finish.
Oh, my God.
But you got to finish.
You got to finish.
I jumped down there, and I'm like, bat, 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 bat. Just trying to just like
original
okay,
UFC.
I'm finishing.
This guy's vicious, man.
I know they're gonna come get me. You know, I know they're gonna come get me. But I gotta finish right.
You gotta finish
until the referee come pull me off the UFC fight. You gotta fight.
Finish him.
Pop, 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 pop. They pulled me off, and this was Fossil was coaching. He was so pissed because not only that, I look up when they pull me up. Jesse's fighting Howard Cross.
Mm.
I think it was Howard Cross. Mm. He's fighting Howard Cross. And I'm like, why were you fighting? He goes, I just didn't like it. He went over and picked a fight just because he didn't like him. And he was just in a mood because he started the whole thing.
I saw you.
And Fossil said, nope, practice is over. We going inside.
Crazy.
Inside. And then just to show how it is in the locker room or whatever, I get in there and Scott Gregg. I see him, and he got some blood, never fixed his head up. He looked at me, you got me pretty good today. I was like, okay, so we ain't gonna have no more problems. That's all I need to know.
Only in an NFL locker can you walk in there, and it's just over.
It's over.
It's over.
Over.
That's what I miss.
Over.
Yeah. We're not getting beat up or anything, but yeah.
All right, and Stacy just wants you to know, OC,
yeah,
that she thinks she saw you disappearing into the distance near Notting Hill last week.
Oh, yeah.
That was me.
And she shouted, "Where's Jay Bell?" But I don't think he heard me. Stacy, he heard you. He just ignored you. He's a star now. No offense, hopefully.
Oh my God, Stray!
I think you need to take us out of here. I think you need to end this podcast. And then,
what do y'all call this, by the way?
It's
Jason and OC Podcast.
Yeah, it's a sophisticated
really
name.
Really? That's it? Jason OC Podcast?
It came out of nowhere, Stray.
Yeah, we just...
It came out of nowhere, and
this has to be the longest one we've ever done.
This is the longest.
Okay, my man, they look like they're ready to go. I got to say, man, this room is hot, by the way. Yeah. NFL, spring on that AC, baby. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Y'all can spring a little money on some AC out here in London.
Hey, we've been gone for a while, so this is a good one to start with.
Absolutely.
We needed to give them this. This is the best one ever.
All right, everybody. You know, this is the J. Bell, OC Human, Owen J. J&O, British Sports Journalism Award, three-time winner, as I was pointed out, OCM and your, Jay Bell, smart guy, money guy, can do it all. Over here keeping OC out of trouble, OC keeping him out of trouble. I don't know what's going on, but this is their podcast. I'm Michael Strahan. I'm happy to be a part of it.
The man.
And
the
man himself. When I get a chance, I'll come back. I love London. And, you're going to wrap your little ward up. Oh, but this is the podcast. Make sure y'all keep on checking out the whole season. Peace.
I can't help the way you make me feel. I can't tell if this is even real. We're going for a ride, enjoy the show. I gotta say, oh, la, 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 la. Danger, danger. Oh, la, 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 la. I'm too dangerous. Oh, la, 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 la. Danger, danger. Oh, la, 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 la. I'm too dangerous. Talk is cheap, especially when it's tongue and cheek. Cause we're young. There's a place for you and me. Hey, yeah.